The following is an at-will presentation.
Angels and gods and aliens, please help me. I pray for myself and pray for my family and friends and lovers and strangers and enemies. Shine light down on them and me so I can properly see me. I pray in the name of love, just be, not this, not that, beyond definition, me.
Sheila Nevins. Born April 6th, Aries rammed, spined, spring of 39, my angel number, spined, Stella and Benjamin's offspring, bookmaking, chemist recipe, left-handed destiny, grandma named Fanny, see I've got one of those too, she's part of me, Barnard, Yale educated, a woman in a man's world, faded, grow, married a button-up who told her women so, quickly learned a woman can say no, so this Cosmo girl worked her way up the ladder, flaunting sexuality, rather than femininity. Women outside marching, Gloria taught this miss how to be, from Cosmo to Miss. The girl wanted perfect teeth so she could lie through a smile and save the tears for the pillows. It didn't take a while for trophies and accolades, spitting out documentary after documentary. The great American dream machine indeed. Adventures in English and secret languages, trials and tribulations and anguishes, like was the man on the street worth more than the woman on the street standing in the exact same position? Home box office, 13-week contract lasted 208 weeks past it, home. Do you feel at home in this box office, Sheila? Wasn't sure in 83, conflicted brain waves making brain games victorious. Back to HBO, this time no boxed office, she gets the corner office, the one with the window she can see the future out of. The climb, vice, senior vice, executive vice, president nice, except when she's on the editing floor. The boss's price, revolutionary story. Storyteller, obsessed with the marginalized. The Wizard of Oz with a heart, brains, courage, all-seeing eyes. The man, no, behind this curtain is a woman. Surprise. I want to hear your taxicab confession, Sheila. No, the real sex stories, the genius Viagra heist, the fetishes on radio sex TV, the middle sexes fights, the house cat that dreamed of cat house games cat mouse. If part of you died in Gaza, if parts of mom's limbs got sewn back on in Baghdad's emergency room, can you feel like Mapplethorpe feels, like Cobain feels, like Kramer feels, like Marina feels, like Robert Durst feels, like they all feel? Sheila Nevins, do you believe in heaven, and are you going clear? How exactly do you spell God, my God? How exactly do you spell love? Maybe it's in Sydney, or David, or Cornwallis, love punch, dizzy, clawless. Maybe it's in your greatest mentor, revenge, perfectly penned. Maybe it's in Botox and tummy tucks and facelifts. Maybe it's in the benzos, so the elevators are friends, though. The bathroom doors and walls don't blend so. So you can properly say farewell to a friend, though. Maybe it's in the work and understanding of involuntary disease, the eyes blinking, spitting, grunting, the eye may have it, but it doesn't have me, throats clearing so you can finally speak, finally write a book and teach the fact that a 10 is what an 8 used to be, the wet polyester in the breeze, the Emmy, Academy Awards, and all the other trophies, the girl who has a hard time falling asleep because she merely doesn't want to fall at all. Sheila, if I can't come up with a good idea, if I feel good about myself, I would most definitely not be sitting in front of you this very instant. You wonder if anyone still whistles anymore?
I whistle a happy tune so no one ever knows.
I'm afraid.
While, what's next, trembling in my heart, I strike a happy
pose
and whistle a happy tune, so no one ever knows
I'm afraid.
That's the King and I.
Okay.
Hmm.
That was good. That was so genius.
Thanks.
You're not just a pretty face.
I try.
I thought, I had no idea what I was getting into.
Hmm.
Will you deliver my obit?
I would be honored.
How do you know that... you'll outlive me.
Well, I don't. So, I mean, we don't.
I could never deliver yours the way you just delivered mine. It was gorgeous.
Well, it brought me so
You're
much
like
joy.
James Joyce of the sort of young You're brilliant.
Thank you.
I mean, it was everything. And you did your homework.
Mm.
You melded everything together.
It wasn't that difficult to find.
So, but I love you. Our food is here.
Yeah, okay. Perfect.
Let me get our food.
That was the most genius fucking thing I've ever heard.
Explosive shockwaves can cause situations such as body displacement, emotional breakthroughs, relatable flashbacks, and love.
This is a conversation with a human I love named Sheila.
Sheila Nivens has a record-breaking 32 primetime Emmys under her belt. She's spent a career telling other people's stories, but now she's finally telling her own in her New York Times best-selling book, You Don't Look Your Age and Other Fairy Tales. Please, welcome the fabulous Sheila Nivens.
For everyone that's listening, will you just give me a who is Sheila Nivens?
She's someone interviewing this cute little guy has a lot of hits on his website. She's trying to sell her book called You Don't Look Your Age and Other Fairy Tales, meaning that you do look your age. And she has a great audio with well-known people like Meryl Streep and Ellen Burstyn and Whoopi Goldberg and Rosie and Alan Alda, just great people that I just picked up the phone and called. So I'm hawking, I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote the book because I had spent my whole life asking other people questions and telling other people's stories. And I was being sort of extolled as a sort of docu-maven, like the ruler of this docu-roost.
The saint, yes.
Yeah, it wasn't accurate. There were offsprings that were doing just as well. Sometimes, I said to somebody once, you know, they say Columbus discovered America, but it wasn't. He didn't. I did not discover docus. I did not create something. I stuck to it because I was a woman and nobody wanted to give me other jobs. I mean, I'd gone to the high school of performing arts as a dancer. I'd gone to Yale as a director. I wanted to direct, but I was a woman in the 60s and you couldn't do that. So screwed around, did everything I was supposed to do, and wound up in this area that nobody wanted called docus. So I thought, you know, they think that like I'm like a docu person, that docu is what I brush my teeth with, it's what I swallow, it's what I love it. I loved everything. I loved algebra. Whatever I majored in, I grew to love. So I got handed docus and I learned to love them. But I felt that it was an unfair representation of, I wouldn't say the complexity of me, but the normalness of me, that I had other abilities, which was to tell it like it was and to be as honest as I could be to whether it was the doorman or the waitress or the super or the immigrant, or, you know, that I didn't come from, I wasn't a fancy person, and that people would say, oh, you went to Yale, oh, you went to Barnard, yeah, well, I went on a scholarship, oh, you know, you're married, I didn't know you were married, you know, I didn't tell anybody anything, I just did my work passionately, engagingly, but then I thought, you know what, I'm really not that special, I've really been through things other people have been through, and I write this book, and if anybody wants to read it, great. And that was it. And I didn't stick to a form, so I didn't write a bio, per se. I hid under some characters because their names came to me. I don't know where they came from, but suddenly I was talking about Melissa. Was I talking about me? Sure, but I was also talking about Melissa. And the lawyer for the publisher said to me, is this based on a real person? And I said, yes and no. No and yes. So who knows where imagination stops and reality takes over? I don't know. It's a very uncertain world. We don't know why we're here. We're like floating in space. We're going to be dead before we know it. You're going to wake up one morning and even you are going to be old if you're lucky. And then you say, wait a second. Hold back. I too have cried at night. I too have thought maybe this is the wrong job. I too have lost friends. I too am scared of death. You know, you want to hear me, hear me. You don't want to hear me. Fuck you. That's what the book is.
I just need to say this on air, and I told you when
I love you.
But I read the entire book yesterday, front page to back, every single word.
But was it work or did you enjoy it? I know the answer.
I couldn't put it down. I could have very easily skimmed through the whole book and wrote some like jerk off poem and had you believe me. But the second I
wouldn't have believed. I'm much smarter than you are. I would not have believed you if you had not read the whole book. But I could tell from the open.
I would have been okay with it.
Oh yeah, but I would have known.
Right.
What I learned was that you devoured it. You digested it.
The way that you pieced the book together by it not being in any sort of chronological order, I like, that's how my mind works, and I saw how your mind works.
Right.
And like, it just...
Are you going to have me committed now?
No. I might just move in though.
You can move in. I have extra. I have room.
So wait, hold on for a second here.
I'm listening.
I have been trying to get a hold of you for a little bit.
Why?
Because I am fascinated by you, I think.
Why?
Because of the work that you've done. And you are a storyteller for other people. You help facilitate these marginalized stories and get them out in the universe,
yes.
Right? And that's part of my work right now. And there was something cosmic that just like was bringing me towards you. So a month to no luck, finally I emailed you. And it was 9:30 on a Friday night, and you emailed me back, call me right now. And we got
well,
on
I mean, I was impressed. I was flattered. And I know what it's like. You know, all the people that I got to read my audiobook, I never went through an agent or a manager.
I just
went
direct. Yeah.
You go direct, you find a different person.
For sure.
Nobody's protecting you. Nobody's acting like you're so fucking important. After all, you're going to die and get diseases and like mm-hmm. everybody else. We're all the same. No agent.
Mm-hmm. You can have a real conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, you just call the person directly.
And that's what happened. So I called you. I was at work. It was 9:30. And we talked for what, 20 minutes maybe?
It was an interesting talk.
It was, if we would have recorded those 20 minutes, it would have been some of the best 20 minutes.
This won't be as good as that.
No, 100%. But I'm saying like, yeah. I think that conversation for sure is the reason why I'm sitting in front of you.
So
right
what
now.
Did we, what did we talk about? I don't remember.
We talked about how you got to where you are, if you're happy right now. You hardcore challenged me, and this is where I was going with this conversation. You hardcore challenged me on this idea of bisexuality.
Oh, right.
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 Yes.
I don't trust it.
You said it wasn't real, too. You said you didn't believe it was a real thing.
I think that sex is a continuum, but mm-hmm. I think when it comes to bisexuality, it maybe is not there.
Hmm.
That there is it's impossible to be attracted or daydream both sexes in your fantasies.
Well, what if it's involuntary? What if it's like actually something that you were born with?
Well, then I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't say I was right. I certainly didn't study with Freud, but I would think...
But you have studied the Middle Sexes documentary.
I've done a lot of sex shows
of
in my
course.
Day. Fascinated by sex.
Right.
I think that it's sort of interesting because I think I never found it a dirty word.
Hmm. Yeah, me neither.
I don't find it a dirty word. I find it part of life like, you know, eating a bagel. But you know what kind of bagel you like, don't
yeah.
you?
Well, I mean, sometimes I like an everything bagel, and sometimes I like a cinnamon raisin bagel.
Yeah, but you like a bagel.
I like a donut, too.
Which do you like more, a bagel or a donut?
I like a bagel more.
Well, there, you answered my question.
But if I have a sweet tooth in the day, I'll like a donut more. It depends on the time of day, too.
Don't try to make excuses.
Oh, I'm not making excuses.
I might even be smarter than you.
I am 100% sure that you are.
I'm just kidding. I think you're the smartest young man I've ever met.
Aww, that is
I really
so
do.
Sweet.
You're so smart. And you did your homework. You know, some guy called me from a magazine, you know, and asked me about my book. And I could tell from the questions he asked that he had not read one word. And I didn't want to talk to him.
That's the worst.
I didn't want to talk to him. I said, you know what? Let's do this. You can take it off the book jacket. Mm-hmm. And I will give you my cell number and call me over the weekend.
Yeah.
Anytime, 24/7. Never called.
Wow.
And then I read the article in the magazine that she'll be nameless. It was so stupid.
It's just a waste of time. If you're not
so
doing the work.
So stupid. Either do it or don't do it.
Right.
You know, don't do what your boss tells you to do because you never have another job if you don't strike out.
Right.
It's very embarrassing. But you did your homework. You're like a poet.
Mm.
Do you have a psychiatrist?
I have. I don't right now. I think that...
I'll be your psychiatrist.
I would love that.
Okay.
Yeah?
I charge a lot.
Okay.
And you can't submit it to your health plan.
All right. How much are we talking about here?
How much you want to pay? How long is this session?
Well, I don't know. Let's see how this one
I
goes
10
first.
Minutes... You know, I don't know. We'll see. You need a lot of work.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Well, give it to me right now.
Okay, I'm giving it to
give
you.
Give me a
I'm
read.
Telling you you're not bisexual.
Well, what are you telling me I am?
You're a beautiful man. There's nothing wrong with loving men. I think your propensity, I don't know why I'm saying this, I'm not a psychic, is towards men. But you love truth. And so you find it under any rock. And you can find it with women and you can find it with men. And now that you're sober, I think you'll find your sexuality more easily.
I 100% have. But we keep referring to this binary gender idea, man and woman. Right. And like, we talked about this the other night on the phone too. I don't believe in the binary, the spectrum in between of man to woman, like the galaxies in between. I have dated the in-betweens.
You may be the exception to my rule.
That's all I wanted to hear.
That doesn't mean you're mentally fit.
I never said I was mentally fit.
Okay.
No.
But you might be the exception only because you're experimental. In other words, you're so curious about life and what makes people tick that you would go into waters simultaneously that others might not. But when you're 40 or 50 or 60,
of course,
you will have made a decision by then. Because you're not going to marry and have kids and go fucking guys, right?
I have a woman in my life. Yeah. We've been best friends.
You
10,
mean it's not me?
10 plus years. Yeah. We've dated on and off. We've had sex for 10 years. She's 100% my soul mate. She's my family at this point. I love her more than anything in the entire world. She was the first episode that we did on this show. She is how I learned how to love.
Can you say her name?
Her name is Bethany. Yeah, of course.
What does Bethany do?
Bethany runs Pilates Studios here in New York. She's working on getting her own workout app put together right now. She's a hardcore powerhouse. Falls under the bisexual umbrella in the exact same place that I do.
You mean she sleeps with women too?
She's been dating women predominantly for the last
butch
5 years. Nah, she's like
lipstick.
A mix between lipstick, but like has a shaved head.
Mm.
Yeah, she's somewhere in between. Okay. So we've been talking about getting married for a
long time.
Hold on, pause. Why not?
Because it won't last.
What? It's already lasted this long, and
it's lasted outside the realm of total togetherness.
But that is what our marriage would
look
like.
Don't get married. I won't come.
But hold on. But I think that there is a world where we can get married and still date other people. And
please stop that nonsense.
Why, though? I find it so hard to believe.
Because love
that
matures
can't
into friendship, and friendship matures into, first there's sex. Then there's, you know, definitions of love. Then there's togetherness. And then there's friendship.
Hmm.
And friendship is solitary.
We have better sex now than we did 10 years ago.
What are you thinking of when you're having sex? Her? Or just getting it off?
Her? I think that we can create a fantasy together too, now at this point, because we're so comfortable with each other. And a lot of the time when we're having sex, I think about her being the mother of my children too.
Well, now you can do that with a man as well as with a woman.
Not in the same way. I can't make
him
the father of
vagina?
My children. Yeah, while I'm having sex with him.
No, but you can go get an egg somewhere.
Right, but there's some
and put your sperm on top of that egg.
But there's something.
And you can also get her egg.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all very mechanical. It's like virtual reality. A baby is a virtual reality creation.
I don't get off on mechanical. I get off on human interaction and this sharing of energy.
You might be completely insane.
It's quite possible.
It's quite possible that you're insane. Look, I don't believe in quote-unquote fidelity. But I believe ultimately there is a preference, a sexual preference.
Yes.
I mean, I've been around a while. I've met a lot of gay men. When I went to high school, there were a lot of guys who were afraid to be gay.
Mm-hmm.
So they went out with girls and they got married. And then when
totally
gays came out of the closet, they were allowed to endorse gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess that was part of what influenced me into thinking that you're one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, at a certain point in your life, sex won't make a difference.
It
won't make a difference.
I understand.
What will matter is fidelity, meaning someone wants your happiness as much as they want their own.
But for me, sexuality is not where I'm putting my penis. Sexuality is who I can be emotionally invested in. And if I can be as emotionally invested in a woman as I can a man, or, you know, a trans woman or a gender nonconforming.
Trans women too?
Yeah. I mean, I've dated the spectrum.
Have you fucked trans people?
I have.
Well, listen, this is what I don't understand. Explain it to me, because trans is pretty new to me, although I'm pretty open. Like, you can have a dick and be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you're telling me you've slept with people who have dicks, but they have tits.
Mm-hmm.
But they were born a man.
Mm-hmm.
And then they became this halfway house.
That's a dangerous way of putting it, but something like
that.
Well,
I mean, I was not an alcoholic, so halfway house means something different to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you been in a halfway house?
No.
Okay.
I definitely have not.
Is there a history of any kind of homosexuality in your family? Because I believe it's probably genetic.
Oh, yeah, I do too. And I've actually been doing a lot of study recently in intersexuality.
And what does that mean, inner?
Intersex is the new word for hermaphrodite. And
God, you've been everywhere.
Well, I, you know, this is like...
Hermaphrodite, you mean you don't...
I'm fascinated by the spectrum. Like, really, that
is...
Well,
why don't you study the animal kingdom? Start with that.
Well, yeah.
Bonobos and things like that. Why don't you start with,
Because they can't talk back to me. Wait...
It stopped, right? Oh, you know what it may be? They're changing the fire alarm system. That may have been a test.
Huh.
Or the building is on fire and we're all going to be dead in a few minutes. And this will be my last thing. Will be about hermaphrodites. Fuck, that's how I'm going to end my life.
Spreading that love around. This is the love bomb. This is the show. Yeah, it's the love bomb. We're taking you up and down. This is the love bomb. We're about to explode.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Did you ever want to die?
Did I ever want to die? Yeah. Yeah.
When you were drunk or when you were getting off it or because you were doing it?
Hungover. Yeah, at the end it was really the darkest.
Do you think it's genetic?
Oh, for sure it is. It runs very, very deep in my family.
I think it's really... I never understood that it's a disease or whatever, but I think it's a disease.
I think some people are built for addiction and some people just aren't. I was never going to get off just being the party boy.
Why did you stop? How did
because
you...
Because I, like, love myself too much, and I knew that I wasn't going to get to the point in my life that I needed to unless I did.
What are your bad habits?
Right now?
Yeah.
I smoke organic tobacco for ceremonial purposes.
Ceremonial? What do you do, like an Indian?
Ayahuasca, different mushroom ceremonies. I love
so
a psychoactive.
You're a psychedelic character.
But not like crazy. Like there's a time and place. I'm not...
What's the time?
I don't microdose.
I hope it's not here.
Anything. No, absolutely not.
You got to go past my doorman.
Have you ever done a doc about psychedelics? Have you ever worked on one?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But mostly... Remember, it's a rather mainstream audience mm-hmm. we're talking to, and we've never really gone into the pleasures.
Mm.
We've sort of gone into the pain of addiction.
Yeah. But most people don't get addicted to psychedelics. It's a totally different
world. I think that's
true. Have you ever done any psychedelics?
College, I tried, but I had bronchitis and sinus and everything. Everybody's always smoking grass and getting really high.
Yeah.
And I was like coughing.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't like I was...
Weed isn't really a psychedelic.
No, I don't mean just weed. But what I mean is I would be alone in my sobriety. And that's a very lonely feeling.
Right.
And I think all those happy hours that are misnamed, all those things where you, if you don't participate, you're a loner, encourages people both with the genetic propensity to drinking or to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it encourages you for socialization purposes.
Mm.
And, you know, the biggest hunk of change for the alcohol industry, and that's legal drug alcohol, are young people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
That are figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get hooked, and then they destroy their liver, and then they destroy their lives, and then they beat themselves up, and then they lose their job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad when illegal drugs are probably less harmful than the legal ones like cigarettes and alcohol.
Absolutely. I did ayahuasca for the first time this past...
Do you expect that I know what ayahuasca is?
Ayahuasca is...
Is that something I can get in the health food store?
You would be so fascinated by ayahuasca.
Really?
It would...
What would happen? Do you have it with you?
No, it's a...
I have a long day. I could use a little ayahuasca. Do I have to join an Indian tribe to
do? I went to Peru and did it for 2 weeks. The proper
you
way
are
you're
really
supposed
a piece
it.
Of work.
They say it's 10 years of therapy in a week. Plus...
And cheaper.
It's so much cheaper.
Yeah.
Just... If you take one
Where am I going to get it?
Well, no, come to Peru with me. Let's go.
I once had a Peruvian maid and she stole my pills. She did. And I couldn't figure it out, except one day I looked at my Klonopin and I hadn't yet opened it, but it was stapled funny, you know, that thing you get from the drugstore. It was kind of stapled funny. And it was supposed to be 120 pills.
Yeah.
And then I counted, it was 90 pills.
Mm.
So that's...
You counted the pills.
I counted to 90 when I was supposed to count to 120. And then I called the drugstore because I didn't want to accuse her. Then I called the drugstore to make sure how they counted.
Mm-hmm.
And they said there were 120 pills in there.
You love a benzo. True.
I love benzos.
What is that about?
Anxiety?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very anxious.
Are you always have been?
Always, from a child on.
Really?
Yeah, always. Always scared. I'm a charlatan.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever wanted to work in the scripted world?
Always.
Always?
Always.
Well, why not now? I mean, I feel like you have your taste now.
I know. I'm tired. I don't know, because I was scared to knock on the door of that kind of opportunity. I was scared I would be rejected. And I grew to love documentaries.
Right, yeah, of course.
And I grew to love the people who didn't have a voice, because I felt they had dramatic stories, because my training had been theater, dance, and all that. And so I really wanted to give a voice to people who had no voice.
Right.
And I couldn't think of another way to do that, really.
Well, don't you feel like there are so many people that don't have a voice in the scripted world right now?
You mean writers?
I mean, like, the stories that are told, so like, predominantly.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's true, but somehow I'm mired in this.
Right.
You know, it's like the outfit that makes you look good. I'm in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wear. And,
All right, so you were the head of a network right now, what would you
want?
You
mean I'm not?
No, like the head of a scripted network.
Right.
Yes, you absolutely
are. If I was the head of a scripted network?
Yeah, like, what would you want on TV?
I'd want someone living on a minimum wage. I'd want someone who was bipolar. I'd want someone who had a kid who has a drug problem. I'd want to do real stories, but with a sense of humor in the midst of the chaos and the sadness of life, that there was a kick, that there was something like a kick. I don't understand the division between comedy and tragedy. I think they're the same thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the worlds are getting a lot closer these
days. Yes, very much so.
What do you watch on TV? Do you watch anything?
Not really, no.
No?
I mean, you know, I guess I could say I watch series, not necessarily HBO series.
Yeah. Did you watch Big Little Lies?
Uh-huh. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I am a binge watcher.
Yeah, me too.
So in other words, first of all, I love to be under the covers. And television to me is a cold room, coffee, and 7 hours.
Right.
And you get, or 9 hours or 10 hours, and you sort of immerse yourself. It's kind of a psychedelic experience.
Of course.
Because nothing else matters. You don't want to get the phone. You want to know what the fuck happened.
And you are totally out of body.
Yeah, and you don't want to wait a week. I don't think young people your age want to wait anymore.
Yeah, no. Everything's so...
Life is too short, too, you know, undisciplined to wait for the answer. So I just watch. I just watch. Or not at all. I don't turn on appointment television.
Right.
So I don't really know how to answer that. If somebody says
you need to watch this,
then I'll get, you know, download all 9 episodes and lock myself up from 10 to 6 and watch it.
How many hours a night do you sleep?
None.
What do you mean none?
I mean not like you sleep.
Right.
How many hours do you sleep?
8.
Are you crazy? Mm-hmm. You mean you only have 6, 17, 8, 9, 20, 1, 2. You have 16 hours to live? Why?
I need a good rest.
Well, I can imagine. I see why. God knows what you've done in the day. I think that I sleep 4 to 6 hours.
Always, your whole life?
Even as a little kid.
Really?
I don't like sleep.
Yeah.
It's like giving a vote to the other side. You know what I mean?
You're
going to sleep forever. I don't always remember my dreams, but I had a dream recently about a dog that was wounded. And I took this dog everywhere, and I couldn't fix his wounds no matter what I did. And when I woke up, I thought the dog was in the room, but he wasn't, and I was crying. But I tried to fix the dog. He was a beautiful adopted dog. I can see him even now.
The chapter on Cornwallis was one of my favorite chapters.
I love Corny. He was my baby.
Yeah.
He was my girlfriend, but he had a penis.
He was gender nonconforming.
Definitely. You know, I would go to the vet and I would say, you know, Corny is having a problem. She seems to have, her lips seem to be swollen. Maybe she was bitten. And they'd look at me and they say, Cornwallis is a male dog. And I said, yes, I know, but she's my girlfriend. She's my girlfriend. And they'd look at me like a, you know, like I was like a crazy bag lady.
I love that so much.
But it was true. It was true. And when she died and I had to take her, I tried to keep her alive as long as I could. She had chemo. She had radiation. And she was on heavy doses of prednisone. And she was lying in the living room here, actually. I mean, here. And I knew that I was keeping her alive for myself.
Right.
And so it was about 11 o'clock at night, and I said to my husband, Sid, we gotta let her go. And I had seen a place on West 55th Street in New York that said 24-hour, and I called, and I said, "Would you euthanize a dog around midnight or 1 o'clock?" And they said, "Yes, we have a special room, and it costs whatever." It was some exorbitant amount. And Corny and I, and we were ready. And we went, and you know what was so interesting? I'll start to cry. But the thing that was so interesting about Corny was that when she got to the hospital, she licked me in the taxi outside, and she couldn't walk anymore because she was so thin, but she walked into the hospital. She just got up on her bony legs and she walked. She was 80 pounds down to like 54, 53. And she walked in and I held her in my arms and she got out of my arms. Dogs are amazing creatures. If I come back, I want to be a dog. And she went into the corner. I always remember this. She went into, she didn't want to be with me. She didn't want me to feel her die, I guess. Or she, who knows? Maybe she just didn't want to be with me. Anyway, she moved into the corner of the room. And she curled up, and they injected her, and then they euthanized her, and then I sat with her, and they wanted to give me her leash and her thing, but I didn't want it. And I left, and I felt I had done her a favor, and she had done me the greatest favor, being with me for so long. She liked benzos.
Yes, I read that.
She liked benzos.
I have a benzo and some peanut butter, right?
She was a great benzo dog boy. She was fearless, except for Thunder. I think everybody has a thunder
something,
fear.
Yeah.
I don't mean thunder per se,
right.
But thunder as a word.
You. Yes.
Everybody has a fear. What's your fear? What scares you? Death?
No.
Age?
No.
Losing your parents?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Not being successful
My
in
mom.
Your career?
No.
Your mom, not your dad?
I've had interesting
Is he living with your mother?
With father
does he,
figures
does he
my
live
entire
with
life.
Mother?
No, my parents got divorced when I was like 4, and then I stayed close to my dad, and I had a stepdad, and I had an uncle that was like a father to me, and I think I just got let down by all three of them in one way or another.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
Is that why you're like kooky women like me?
Probably. I was raised by four women. My mom,
who are they?
My two aunts, and my grandma.
Your grandma's still alive. Yeah, she's adorable.
She lived in my house growing up. She was in the basement. My aunts lived across the street. I mean, it was very
much
so.
Did you ever get spanked?
No.
No? Were you a good boy?
I was a good boy, yeah. We all were. I mean, I think that, like, we actually, like, broke up fights between the women more than they broke up fights between us.
Women can be tough.
Yeah. So that's, like, very much so in my blood.
Yeah. How do we get into this?
Benzos.
Have you ever taken a benzo?
Yeah, of course.
Do you want one now?
Sure.
I never go anywhere without it. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't tell the truth enough to not be able to medicate myself. Here.
How old were you when it started? Oh, I love it. She just pulled out a little thing. A little. Yep, and there's the zipper. A little drug case that says drugs.
But I'm not a druggie, exactly.
No, yeah. Because you never have abused any of these.
No,
you make that very clear in your book.
I never abuse it. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's in my Whoopi poem. The thing about it is that imaginary things can be more real than real things. Mm-hmm. When there was an earthquake in L.A., I was the calmest person at the hotel. Mm-hmm. Totally
this
calm.
This is 95, right?
I helped people. I helped people down the stairs. I called New York. I got the glass off the staircase. Mm-hmm. I got a broom. I got little slippers for everybody. But
but you did. I mean, you handle trauma on the editing room floor nonstop.
But what I mean is real trauma.
Right.
I'm great at it's day-to-day things.
Well, it's also the imaginary, like the narrative that you write in your head.
But the imaginary is much more frightening to me than the real.
Is that what you're most afraid of? Would you say? You asked me what I was most afraid of. What are you most afraid of?
Death,
really?
Death. I don't want the world. I don't want to die.
Where do you think we go after we die?
Nowhere. I think you die. I think the thing is that everything we do, even your genius, is a way to escape facing on a daily basis the fact that we are material that is immaterial and that all we create is creation for ourselves, importance, intellect, but in essence we're just physical matter.
I cannot stress how magical an ayahuasca experience would be.
I'm waiting for it.
I mean, seriously.
Should I call you afterwards?
I'm going to send you a bunch of material.
But how much do I have to take right away? I'm very scared of that.
You take one little shot.
But will I be able to go to work that day and everything?
No, no, you don't do it alone. You have to do it in a controlled
I don't like people.
Environment with a shaman.
A shaman?
Yes, yes, yes.
Fuck. A shaman?
Yeah. To protect your space and... I mean, this is one of the most ancient practices that we have. This is far before...
They do it in Peru where they steal my pills? Where do they do this?
The Peruvians stole your pills here, not in Peru.
Oh, I forgot.
There's places here that do it. I mean, you can have somebody come to your house and do it.
You must live in another universe, and I do.
I think I live in a few.
You live in the shaman universe. You live in the television, whatever you call that thing called television universe. And then you live in a personal space that's discovery.
Yeah.
I think and then, and then you're a family kid.
Yeah. I think that there's a fluidity to who I am, really, and it's not.
But you're young. You're young. You're going to make decisions, and then they're going to. But today, no. You're speaking as a 28, 9-year-old child.
What decisions am I going to make in my life that are going to change everything?
You're going to know when you wake up in the morning that you have less time in front of you than you have behind you.
But I don't believe that we are done when we die.
You think we're going to go into shaman land?
Yes, I know. In my heart, I know that this isn't
it. Maybe you could become a shaman. After you earn enough money, you could just shamanize yourself.
I don't think you need money to be a
shaman. Like Simonize, either. You could shamanize you.
I think it's something that you're born with, really. It's this belief in the unknown. It's this.
My belief in the unknown is that we're matter. Hmm. Your belief in the unknown is that it's surreal and somewhat virtual reality that we don't know now.
Right.
Well, I don't agree with
you. But your entire job, your entire livelihood is based in fact, right?
Giving a break to fact.
Giving a break to fact and normalizing certain
facts. Not normalizing. Drawing attention to injustice.
Right.
And marginalized people who have great stories to tell. Mm-hmm. People have great stories.
Yeah.
That's why narrative, although I've never really been able to go into it, narrative is basically based on true stories. Mm-hmm. And my passion has become making the true stories exciting as the narrative.
I feel like you need to tell a shaman story.
I can't tell a shaman story if I'm not the part of the experience.
We can go to Peru. Let's go to Peru and make a shaman movie.
I've never had a 29-year-old man, or man, whatever you are, ask me to get on a plane and go to Peru to visit a shaman.
And I will take ayahuasca with you.
Can I get...
We can bring a camera.
I'll do it. I would do it. I have nothing to lose. But this is the thing. I'm busy the next 3 weeks.
Oh, no, I'm talking in a few months. Let's go.
Okay. All right, I'll go. I've always wanted to go to Peru. They have like thick sweaters.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, and they're like...
Alpaca sweaters.
Yeah, they're great. Aren't they great?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Do you love yourself today?
Not particularly.
Why not?
My lips are disappearing. I need some Botox. My hair's too straight.
We're talking all body image right now.
Yeah, I have a busy day. I've eaten too much the last 3 weeks. I have a busy week ahead. I haven't saved myself from myself, so I'm a little disappointed in myself. Mm.
Do you think there's a running theme in your life?
Not really. You know, like yesterday, 2 days ago, I found out that my book would be on the bestseller list next Sunday. And I thought that was very odd because I hadn't done anything to make that happen, and it scared me. Mm. I didn't understand. I still don't understand.
Did you celebrate?
No.
Why? How do you not celebrate? You find out your book's going to be on the bestseller list.
Because I didn't know what it meant.
What even happens? Do you
between,
know what it means?
Yeah, I'm between Kaylin Jenner. But down on the bottom, I'll fall off by the week after. But just the fact that
all
I would be...
All it takes is one screenshot. You were there.
Yeah, no, and they say in your obit, they won't say TV producer first. They'll say best-selling author. So, I mean, the New York Times. What else is there? But... I think that it was a little frightening because I thought it was odd. And I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means, how many books. I never had a book party. I turned down several because I've been to enough where I hate it. It's, you know, the elite and the same people, and you give away books. And I'm a poor little girl. I don't want to give away my book. So I don't want to have a party with rich people who get a book for free. Right. And then you sign it, you know, to so-and-so, and you just give it away. I didn't want to do that. So I've turned down the book parties, and I have a feeling that's why I'm on the bestseller list. Because when someone would meet me in the hall, they would say to me, you wrote a book. Do you have any? And I'd say, buy it! So I think that aggressive, obnoxious person that I can be was the biased.
When was the last time you really celebrated your life, though?
I don't think it's happened yet.
It's never happened.
I'm having a nice time that you're even interested. Mm. But no, I don't know when I've celebrated my life. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe
or the
in
next
Peru.
Day. I'm very proud that you're even interested, but I don't know when I've celebrated my life.
Well, I just think you have so much to celebrate.
What?
What do you mean?
I've
what?
Worked my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
I woke up one morning. I was young. I was your age. And then the next morning, I was in my 70s.
Did you feel young when you were young? Did you actually feel
30
when you were
30? No, I never thought about it.
No.
I thought I was forever.
Right.
Until one morning I woke up and I thought, holy fuck, I got a free subscription to AARP. Oh my God. I mean, Social Security is asking me if I want a check. Mm. No, it happens like this. You will see.
Oh, yeah.
I won't be here. But I am telling you that you will wake up one day, if you're lucky, and you will be an old man.
You believe in astrology or like palm readers?
You know,
or
that's so interesting.
Those?
I don't believe in it, but I read it in the Post every
oh, you
morning.
Do?
And it said this morning, if I remember correctly, not to turn down any opportunities, but
really?
To be an Aries, an aggressive Aries. Now, if anyone knew that I did anything so stupid as to look at Sally, whatever her name, Bronson, or whatever her name is in the Post, that I went over the whole news, I read about Rosie and her girlfriend, and then I flipped, and I couldn't find the horoscope page, and I had to be to see you at 9, and I went back again, and I looked, and then I thought, oh, good horoscope, and then I left.
That's a good one.
Once I read my horoscope, and I was in the wrong box, and I thought it was right on, until the next day, I saw that they had moved me, because I had a birthday in April, down to the bottom, and I'd read the wrong horoscope. But it worked anyway.
Have you ever had your full chart written?
No.
Written, that's not a fucking word.
Written is
read.
Okay. Oh,
written. Do you know what time you were born?
No. Does that make a difference?
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you probably are too, though.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally nuts. No, I don't know when I was born. I mean, it was so long ago, I don't even know if we had a clock then. I don't really know.
Somebody kept time somehow.
You think?
How long have you been married now?
43 years.
43 years.
But I was married before.
Beforehand.
And I had, you know, a love, a great love before that broke my heart. Did you ever have your heart broken?
I think I've broken my own heart.
I think you move so quickly from pillar to post, probably don't have time for a broken heart.
I told you about a 10-year relationship.
Yeah, but I don't.
She doesn't believe it.
No. I know. I believe you have a 10-year relationship, but I think it's salve.
Let's talk about
it's a salve to your complex psychology.
Complex. Let's talk about your heartbreak, if that's what you want to talk about.
You mean that guy?
That one.
That was horrible. It took me 25 years to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Being rejected is a great motivator.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
For sure.
Don't you think?
Oh,
like
absolutely.
You couldn't reach me, you wanted to reach me. If
yeah.
you could reach me, you might not have wanted to come.
Right.
Being rejected is a good stimulus to action.
What felt stronger, the act of loving this person or the heartbreak from this person?
They were equal in different parts of me. The love was the greatest, and the breakup was the most sore. I was sore for many years.
Mm.
I mean, I was devastated.
Are you still?
When I write about it and think about it, absolutely.
Yeah.
When I don't think about it, which is most of the time, life goes on.
Is he alive? Do you know where he is?
Yes.
Yeah?
And I read him. I read it to him because the lawyers made me read it.
Really?
Yeah. And
you
I
read it to him over the
him?
Phone or in
yes.
person?
Yes. Well, you see, Tova Felcher read it on the audio, and she read it like this. Your mother, we were washing the dishes, and she said, rawr. It was right, really, you know. So she read it like Lady Macbeth, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally got... we'll call him Joe. When I finally got Joe on the phone, I said, hi, how are you? I want you to know this before the book comes out, but I've written this book. I mean, nobody will buy it, but I've written this book. I wrote about what happened with your mother that time 50 years ago. And he said, oh. And I said, Tova Felcher read it, but I'll read it to you. So she read it like, and I read it like Little Mary Sunshine.
I heard a softness in your voice when I was reading
it. Yeah,
that,
I read it very calmly and very sweetly, and at the end there was a pause, and I said, Joe, are you okay? Did you hear it? And he said, it was very heartbreaking, he said, yes, it's all true.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a coward.
Mm-hmm.
And so of course I burst into tears.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The title of the show is The Love Bomb. When you hear
The Love
Bomb, what's in your head?
It's a great title. It means that love is explosive. Mm. And there are some bombs that, well, I like to think of bomb as B-A-L-M as well as B-O-M-B. It's the impact that love has on you that is explosive. Mm. And love bomb is something I think everyone can identify with, which is that it is dangerous, mm. it's forbidden, and it's always.
Mm. My favorite thing about bomb is bombs were actually created to make space, not to destroy, for tunnels
yes,
and for
yes,
other things
that's true.
Originally. So there's like a little play on words there. Okay, but that's okay. Beside the point. And okay,
that's
finally,
much too profound for me. And the second question?
What is love?
I think caring about someone more than you care about yourself. Mm. Wanting that person's happiness more than you want your own. And that selflessness gives you that feeling of love because it's a passion of caring and attraction. It's probably the thing that keeps us alive next to shopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sheila, I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you so
Isn't
much.
Isn't it wonderful that we just like met like crazy like in an email?
Yeah.
You're a very dear boy.
And
I love you.
We both have Grandma Fannies. I mean, that is really...
I mean, that's incredible.
Spreading the love around. This is the Love Bomb. This is the show.
Sheila, I know you're one of the busiest women in the entire world, and I just want to tell you how appreciative I am for you taking the time and inviting me to your house on a Friday morning to just sit down and have a real human conversation with you. I mean, I know how valuable your time is, and it just means so much to me that you opened your doors and your heart just to sit down with little old me in this podcast, The Love Bomb. I've looked up to you for so long, and I will continue to. And if anybody out there wants to get involved in the doc world, like, look to Sheila Nevins for inspiration. You are the legend, the legacy. Just thank you for all the work that you do. I talk about on this show giving platforms to marginalized communities, and that's literally what you've done your entire life. And now you've turned it around on yourself, and you've written a book, and you're magnificent. Thank you. Follow Sheila on Instagram. Yes, Sheila Nevins has an Instagram, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Sheila Nevins. That's at @TheSheilaNevins. Follow me on Instagram, Nico Tortorella, and comment on this show. Sheila, you're a god in my books. Love you all. Peace.
Yeah, it's the Love Bomb. We're taking you up and down. This is the Love Bomb. We're about to explode.
We did the first gay shows ever, ever, ever. We did drag before drag was in. 100%. I did Rue when he was 30.
Mm-hmm.
30.
No, it's in Atlanta. I mean,
I that's why Rue, when I called him, read this thing because I found Rue at AA. I mean, it was incredible.
So much space for so many.
No, but I mean,
people.
I really do believe in difference, but I also believe in the authenticity of difference, which is that you can only be so different and lie to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is a path, choice. That is very clear, and you'll find it.
You can be different and negative. If you're different,
I'm
and
not
positive,
negative.
No, not you.
No,
not
we did a family is a family is a family with Rosie about the fact that you could have a gay family, and nobody in the middle states would review it. Their papers would not allow them to
really?
Review it.
When was this?
12 years ago.
Yeah, 2000. And
yeah.
They were not,
it was so horrible. This AP guy came over to me at the television critic. They're all excited to see Rosie because it was Rosie's heyday.
Yeah, right.
And he said, I can't write about it.
Ah.
And I said, da-da-da, why not? He said, my editor won't let me write about it.
Oh, my God.
I cannot write a positive thing about a gay marriage.
And what do you say?
I said, I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed. I mean, it seems so cutting edge. It seems so right.
Mm.
And then this little girl came up to me and... at a screening, and then that made it all right. She was probably 11, and she said, could I borrow this show to show to my class? Because I have two mommies. And I said, of course you can. And of course, it was 3/4-inch cassettes then. So I had to make it so that she could show it, you know, and all that. But I was very excited, because I realized that it was before, you know. I mean, the prejudices are still very heavy, and with this
right.
president, it makes it even worse. But it's
right.
really good to break the ice.
Mm-hmm.
if people will let you break the ice. They don't always do that. We did a film once about, I read an obituary, and it was about a man named Dr. Peter. Mm. And Dr. Peter had died of AIDS before there was any,
right,
you know, kind of way of not, you know, before Larry. I always say BL. And a producer in Vancouver sent me, said that for 65 shows, this he had been a doctor, mm-hmm. Dr. Peter, who had contracted AIDS and who was gay, he didn't want people to be afraid of people who had AIDS. That was when we were afraid to work with a guy who,
right,
who
sit left on a toilet.
Yeah, sit on whatever, a toilet, yes, or whatever. I mean, there were people at work that were like crazy, crazy, and guys were dying, and it was really horrifying. And so this guy came in with these 65 tapes, and it was the decline of Dr. Peter from diagnosis,
oh my God,
to be an unknown kind of disease, but he was a doctor, to diagnosis of HIV positive, to a diagnosis of virulent AIDS. And he had, once a week, he had a show. And we made a documentary called The Broadcast Tapes of Dr. Peter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we put it on. It was very hard work because I didn't want to get to the end. And I had all these dizziness attacks because I knew that tape 45,
oh my God,
was better than tape 50, and then I had to end with tape 65. And he was beautiful, but he had a horrible skin thing. I forgot what that's called. And he was skiing,
psoriasis.
And he was, what is it?
Psoriasis?
No, but it was from the HIV and from the thing.
This
was early on. I got a letter from a sergeant. This was before emails. And he said, you know, I'm retired. I was in the Army for 25 years, whatever. I hated gay guys. Mm. He said, and when I saw Dr. Peter, I realized, I'm not doing it accurately, but it's close. I realized that I was wrong. Mm. And wow, that men had, he didn't say anything about women, men had a right to make a choice as to what made them feel whole. I mean, I went running up and down the hall. It was almost like when Meryl Streep said she would read one of my stories, you know. I said, look what this guy wrote! Look, because it was a letter. That was when you got letters, not emails, which you can just write. And I think that was probably a real turning point for me.
That's,
I really felt that it was, you know, because Dr. Peter was a great, I mean, I never got to meet him. And at the funeral that his partner had filmed for Dr. Peter, and there were pictures of him, his dog lay down at the coffin.
Oh, come on.
Yes. I wonder if it still works. I'm going to find it. It got nominated for Academy Award. Didn't win. But the thing was, I think it was too soon to win in the sense that it made people uncomfortable,
right,
with this disease that was so virulent for which there was no treatment at the,
right,
time. And it was very interesting. But the most interesting part of the book, and I'm going to send you the audio, okay?
Mm, yeah, I'd love to.
The most interesting part was the audio because I have never asked people to do anything for myself. I've only asked them, Meryl, would you narrate this thing on, you know, the pollution of apples or something?
Right.
I have never actually said, would you do this for me? Diane, would you do this for me?
It's a weird,
you know,
it's Whoopi, a weird ask.
It's a really tough ask, but I did it. And I would say 90% of the people said yes.
Mm.
It's very interesting when you get to a point like that, when you ask for favors, it's the strangest people who are your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi Fleiss.
Right.
The pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Hoff. Down in you know, Las Vegas. I'm going to buy 100 books, kid. I'm going to give them to all my customers. I said, no, Hoff, it's not that kind of book. I don't think it's...
The pen.
Because we had done Cat House with
him.
And I'd been to the Cat House a number of times. The cleanest, nicest place in the world. Guys get it off. The women are all lesbians, most of them. They don't give a shit.
Lesbians.
They're not being exploited. They're saying, fuck you, you jerk. You want to pay $800
well,
for this? I'll fuck you. So anyway, but people that I had, highbrows, the elite in New York,
right,
when I said, would you write something about my book, never even answered my letters. You know, I don't know how, I'm just going to do it, right?
I'm going to use the restroom real quick. Yeah.
The restroom?
The bathroom.
What's
use
wrong?
The fucking toilet.
I mean, you're screwing everything in sight and you're calling it the restroom?
I never said I was screwing.
You did
say,
so, you did
no,
so. You
say,
kind of implied it.
Nico. 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 Nico.